This is the Happy House Hunters Mastermind Group. And there I see Tammy. David and Tammy is with us. Kyle is with us. And Jennifer, which is, it says Kathy Vinner, Passive Income Coach on hers. I don't know why. I sent her over a link, and when she clicked on it, it shows me instead of her. But anyhow, once she shows her camera, it's her. So that's Jen, my daughter. She is an admin assistant for several other companies, and she does some graphic design. And so when I travel and I need some things done, I kind of lean on her. And so she is going to show us a little bit about Inago today. So I don't know about you, but as things unfold in our business, we're constantly tweaking and we're just trying to make things easier, better to understand, get our reports out. You know, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what we need until we need it. And then we go, oh my gosh, how is everyone doing that? What's the best way to do that? Now, Tammy, am I correct? Your background is accounting. So Tammy is using a different program in addition to Inago. So Tammy, tell us what all are you using Inago for and what is the other program you're using?
We use Inago for rent collection and maintenance requests.
And leases.
And leases, yes, electronic leases. And then I use a free accounting software called Stessa for all of my bookkeeping.
Because you're finding under Stessa that you can get the reports that you need to kind of look at your portfolio a little easier that way?
Yes.
Okay. Now tell us how, I'm sorry.
It'll download automatically your transactions. So there's a lot of reports that you can get out of Inago also if you're willing to manually enter all those transactions.
I saw that. Now, when you talked with the Inago guy, did he say that it's coming to where you can download directly to Inago?
He said they were working on it, but he didn't tell me when it's coming.
Yeah. And see, again, we need numbers now, especially buying and selling and investing and you have to have reports. Now, Jennifer helped me do mine just on an Excel spreadsheet because we were getting ready to submit to our lender so that we could refinance a couple of properties. And I wanted to pull some cash out. So she actually did mine on just an Excel spreadsheet, but we had to enter all of that manually to do that. And it's already outdated. You know, because then I refinanced a couple and all of a sudden now those numbers that we put on that spreadsheet are now different because, you know, now we have different properties that are supporting that particular loan. So it's a process. So now if I wanted to buy yet another property, I would have to update that spreadsheet yet again. But it's only, you know, again, a number or two. We've got Chris coming in. We're just letting everybody get in here. Welcome, Elise. Elise was on an earlier call, a couple of calls with us, and she's back again. And we see Chris is there. So welcome, Elise. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Hello.
For those that see Jennifer, where it says Kathy, she is actually my daughter and has done some work for me. We were talking about the whole accounting piece. Especially with tax time coming. This year, for the first time, I did all of my 1099s out to my contractors electronically. I've done that manually in the past, and I'm just trying to make everything electronic so that I don't have to carry papers back and forth when we travel. I want to travel as light as possible. So I did all of that electronically this year. It was kind of a trial run. I wasn't sure how the program worked. And so I think I clicked it a couple of times. Jennifer's husband, my son-in-law, Matt, does some work for me. And so Jennifer's like, we got your 1099s like three times. We got like one electronically and then we got another one. And then we finally got a paper. I said, yeah, I didn't know the program. I was so afraid I was going to miss my deadline. So I then just popped copies in the mail to make sure that people could get their taxes filed. Cause I know some folks, are counting on filing so they can get their refunds. Yes, Tammy.
So how did you do them electronically?
It was just, I've got my screen up behind me, my file cabinet's behind that. It was a program called 1099 e-file. It was just an actual, that's all they do is e-file 1099s. And so I just went online and searched and found that one, and it was pretty simple. And it was actually less expensive than me buying that packet that I buy from Staples, you know, where you get like 10 sets of 1099s and then one 1096 to submit to the IRS. And it's, I don't know what that costs these days. I'm thinking I paid like $25 or something for that packet in the past. And this only was like, I think $19 total. It was like so much per 1099. I don't know, like $3 for each 1099 or something like that. And I just found it online and filled it in and hit send, but it wasn't very communicative to me as to, you know, how you always get something that says your stuff has been sent. It didn't tell me anything. So I'm like, did it send? Did it not send? I didn't know. But anyhow, it did. It worked beautifully. And so I will use that in the future because it was a great way to submit that. And I just did it all online. And then I printed copies out, of course, for my record keeping. And all of you know that have been on the calls with me for any length of time now that I use my bank accounts to separate my accounts. It's kind of the system where, you know, you take the $1,000 and then you divide it into the envelopes so that you've got so much for your mortgage payment and so much for your property taxes. I'm simply doing that with bank accounts. The bank accounts are my envelopes. I like to say that I let the bank hold my envelopes in their drawer instead of me holding it in my dresser drawer. And so I'm just dividing my money up in these different accounts. It's just like putting it in different envelopes. And that way I don't accidentally spend my tax money or my utility money or my mortgage money on something else. I just have it divided down and it works very simple for me. Now, once I went on to Medicare, I got a little concerned because if you miss a payment there, it sometimes you have to wait a year to get back on. You know, they don't give you a very big grace period. So I actually opened a separate account just for my Medicare. And I've got like 3 months worth over in there early so that it will never bounce. And I don't want that to go away and have to wait a year. So, and ask me how I know this. Mark missed a payment and he had to wait a year with no coverage until he could get back on it again. So yeah, so don't do that. Yeah, word to the wise. So anyway, any problems that anyone is having currently, can we mastermind a little bit? What is your biggest hurdle that you're in the middle of currently? Mine is strictly cash flow. I had 3 units that flipped all at the same time. I don't normally have 3 at a time. That's not statistically the norm for me. I might have 3 the entire year. And I had 3 all the same month. And so so it was just cash flow. Now, once I get through this and things, you know, level off, hopefully I won't have any other move outs for a while. And so that's mine, is just cash flow. And again, if any of you followed me on these calls for any length of time, you know that I love to use my convenience checks off of my credit cards. I have some credit card companies that send me a convenience check, and I can use a convenience check with that credit card company, and it will go 18 months at 0% interest, or 18 months at like maybe 4.99% interest. And it's a great way to use somebody else's money. I always want to use somebody else's money instead of my own money, because I might find, you know, as you all know, I might find one of those great deals where I want to write a check out of my checking account or my savings account and buy another property. So I never want to deplete my funds if I can use someone else's money. Once I send out that convenience check, then I simply set it up in those 17 payments or whatever. And I let my tenant, as they pay, I then let my tenant actually, as their money goes into the account, then I pay that convenience check off. So basically the tenant's buying their own furnace, they're buying their own roof, whatever major capital gain I had to do to the property. And that's oftentimes how I do my maintenance. So anyone else have what their hurdle is this month?
Kathy, with those convenience checks, are you still paying the 3% transfer rate?
I am, but again, that's kind of a small price to pay to use somebody else's money when you think about it. When you do the math, so, do you agree or not? Do you think that's too expensive?
No, it's a great pr- price. Yeah.
Like a $3,000 is like 90 bucks. So that's actually a pretty good price to pay to use somebody else's money. If someone said, I'll give you $3,000 to use for 17 months and you owe me 90 bucks, would you do it?
Of course.
So anyway, so that's my thinking, and that's why I love to use the convenience checks. And the credit card company does it because it's all automated. And now again, they could flag my account at some point and go, you know what, we're not making any money on this girl because she uses these convenience checks at 0% interest and pays it on time and is never late. And so we're not really making any money on her. But right now, they seem to keep spitting out the convenience checks. So I'm of the firm belief that I'm going to ride that train as long as it's on the tracks to be able to use somebody else's money. So they could flag it at some point and say, you know, we're not, you know, because it's all a computer program, and they could set it up and say, if we've not made any money on this particular client, you know, for the last 4 years, then we're going to stop sending convenience checks to that person. They could, they haven't, but you know, it's just a programming point on their side. So, Chris, what are you in the middle of currently?
Oh, just one property. I think it's gone back and forth right now. Now I'm going with a hard money lender to close out. Probably, you know, we originally talked about $30,000 in repairs. We're probably still looking at 60 to 80.
Oh, okay. Did the numbers still work for you or no?
Originally, I thought no because I was using the wrong number. So that helps that we did a new BPO report, and it eventually actually comps went up even higher, and we're looking to make profit even off of those new repairs. So I'm going forward with it.
Okay. So you're going to go forward. Okay.
Uh-huh. Even though it has every issue you can imagine.
Now, are you having a hard time finding contractors?
Yeah. A lot of them are, you know, not calling you back, not showing up. You have to follow up with them a lot. Their prices are pretty high. I was pretty shocked on some of the prices, but from what I'm hearing, that's pretty normal.
That was my question too. Is everybody seeing that contractor prices are up? Is everybody noticing that? No, not so much. David?
Better or for worse, we haven't had opportunity to find out.
Okay, good for you. So in other words, you don't have anything breaking at the moment.
Exactly.
Elise, how about you? Are you finding, I don't know if you're in a spot where you can talk or whether you're trying to tap in from work. Are you finding that contractor prices are up?
Well, honestly, I haven't been dealing with any contractors. My latest thing is really just trying to figure out how to get this house on the market. So I will be moving out of my side of my duplex, and I've kind of just been trying to get eyes on it. And I mean, we spoke about this a little bit earlier in the other meetings, but my latest problem is just, you know, using a QR code that I thought was free that isn't really free. And now they're asking me for, you know, probably $10 or so a week. I haven't even looked into it. To send out, or, you know, so people can scan that and use that information. And, you know, now I'm getting the email saying, you know, there's about 10 people who are scanning your QR code. So I'm getting the numbers I want, but, you know, it was just a mistake on my part for using a QR code that wasn't free.
Well, I've not used one. Are there free ones out there? Jen, can you talk to that? Can you speak to that? You're on mute.
I don't use QR codes with a lot of things. So I wouldn't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't added a QR code to any of my advertising or any of my websites or anything like that. So but if the cost is $10 a week, you know, you're talking, you know, 40 bucks a month. Are you getting the numbers that it would be worth that?
So I haven't been, and that was kind of the dilemma. And there are a couple free QR codes that I have used before. Okay. It was just something a little bit different. I wanted a little bit of text under it. So just using something different than I would usually use. And that's what kind of messed me up. But I thought that this would be the most. Pay. Oh, go ahead. Would you say, Kirk?
I was going to say, I wouldn't pay for a QR code generation.
You know, and that's what I was saying, especially with how I'm trying to structure it is, you know, I wanted to be able to use this QR code over and over. And like, I could have the same little flyers that has the Jack Property logo, the QR code for information and the QR code for application. They can scan it with their phones and it goes to the Google document or whatever I set it up as that has the most recent listing, gives all the information and it can have photos. And that saves me from using a lot of paper and it being flying all over town. And they're like, oh, look, Jack Property Team waste paper. So, you know, I was just kind of thinking more forward thinking with the QR codes. So I definitely could go back to regular paper, but that's the reason why I've been.
But you know what? It's the way we're going. And so you have to also ask yourself the market. Are you going to get folks that won't know what to do with the QR code? And believe it or not, there are folks out there that don't know what to do with it. Every time Mark and I go to a restaurant, Mark is like, just give me a plain menu. Don't tell me I have to pull it open with this QR. Cause he goes, do I take a picture of it? I go, oh my gosh, Mark. Oh. So yes, there are folks out there that they have no idea what to do with the QR code. So you don't want to lose part of that audience because of that as well. So you might want to have a kind of a double strategy there.
I will most likely do, you know, the best way to get my clients or tenants, at least for my tenant pool from Reynoldsburg, was having the papers out in the rental box. So okay. I'll probably just do a mix and have some that have the QR codes and some that are just plain paper. So people can kind of choose because they'll be able to see the difference because the half sheets are just the ones with the QR code. And that might just help people a little bit more.
Okay. So. Well, I think since you already have it out there, you're almost kind of stuck with it on this round, because if you change the QR code now over to a free version and somebody gets the other version and it doesn't work, they're going to be frustrated.
Yeah. No, that definitely makes so sense. Well, I'll probably go back to the drawing board on that, but I'll most likely pay for it. I just know for next time I need to be a little more careful.
Yeah, but I think you are kind of stuck with it maybe on this round. Are you getting some good tenant interest?
So far, not so much, just because it's one, the winter time, and I was having a lot of success in the summer when people were out and seeing the signs. Facebook has been okay. I have not gone back to Craigslist. I didn't get any leads off of that the last time. So I wanted to kind of focus where I was getting the most of my leads. And honestly, it has been going well with the QR codes. It's been saying about 10 or 12 people have looked at it, and that's better numbers than, you know, anything else. So I will.
How are you putting the QR code out there? Where are you putting it?
So on my posters, hold on. I might be able to do this. Hold on. Oh, okay. It does not see that. Okay. Well, there's a poster. There's one on Facebook and it just has like the coming soon information. And then on the bottom of it, it has a two QR codes saying information. And it says managed by Jack Property Team in the middle. And it says apply today on the other one. So kind of like telling them what to do with it. And it has an
image.
I was trying to share, but I can also send that to you if you'd like to see it.
I had to click on my end that you can share your screen. So I clicked that you could share.
Let me see. Okay.
So you're doing it on social media is what I hear you saying.
Mm-hmm. A lot of social media.
Oh, nice. So
if you can see this and, you know, just kind of making it a little bit more new age and information and just scanning all that stuff. I didn't want to have it too cluttered and I didn't want it to scare people out of looking at it, but.
Right.
I think
I like it. Precise.
Thank you.
Good. And Chris put a couple of notes in the chat box. So Elise, take a look at that. He put a website in there where you could get a free QR code.
Thank you.
Yeah. So take a peek at that.
Now, if I can ask, what's the value of a QR code on Facebook? Now they're already an electronic device. Can't they just click a link?
Absolutely. So on most of the times for my Facebook, I will normally link the site actually on there. That's just kind of been the poster that I'll put on maybe Instagram and just kind of get some buzz to it and get people to start reaching out to me if they're not able to scan that QR code at the time. But I definitely understand that question. That was something that I thought about, but I thought that the pros outweighed the cons in the situation.
Okay. Just asking. I wasn't sure if there was something I was missing.
Yeah, for sure.
And you are getting some mileage on it.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, thinking about going paperless or as paperless as possible, With the number of doors that I have, I had to, you know, just try to get everything on an automatic draw or an automatic bill pay. So my first choice is an auto draw. And the reason that that's my first choice is because that way, if something changes, like property taxes, for example, I like my property taxes to come out monthly because my rent comes in monthly. And what it does is it keeps my income kind of like this instead of like this, you know, it's like, okay, taxes are due and now they're not due, you know. And so I like to have my taxes set up on monthly. Well, now most counties will allow me to set up a monthly draw directly with the treasurer's office of the county. And they just go right into the bank account for that particular property and they draw. Well, for any of you that have had a monthly on your property taxes, you know what I'm talking about. It's a little funky because it's like you pay 5 months and then you get a free month. And then you pay 5 months and you get a free month. Well, if you try to do that in your bill pay, when you set it up to just send them a flat amount every month for 12 months, then they go, oh, this is an overage, and they send it back to you. And you feel like, what? But it's going to be due next month. Just keep it, you know, and give me a credit. Well, it's just, it's really kind of odd. So I contact the county, and if they have a draw system where they draw the property taxes monthly, I just fill out the form. You know, give them my account number. Usually it's a letter from my bank that says this is the account that goes with this property. And I just let them draw. And that way I don't have to chase it. And so usually I'm paying, if there's a mortgage, I'm paying the mortgage, and then I'm paying the property taxes, and I'm paying then the insurance. And all three of those are on an auto draw. Now, if the company does not have an auto draw option, which a couple of counties do not have an auto draw option for the property taxes, then I'll set it up on a bill pay. And so an example here is I have a property over in Pickaway County and they do not have an auto draw. But I did talk to the treasurer's office and she says, well, we will allow you to make monthly bill pay payments to us. And she says, and we won't send it back. We'll hold it as a credit. And then when your taxes are due, it goes against the credit. So I do have to pull that file twice a year just to make sure that the tax amount didn't change a little and to make sure that I've got enough in the till to cover it on its final of its five payments. So I just flag it like every February and July when you'd normally pay property taxes to just make sure that I have enough credit sitting in there to cover the actual tax bill. And that way, if I'm short, I can send them manually, you know, click into my bill pay to send the difference if I'm short for some reason. But usually I'm a little over and then they just roll it over into the next tax year with Pickaway County. Not every county will do that. So that's the one way that I become paperless. So the majority of my properties, I don't even have to touch anything because it automatically just draws out of the bank account for that property. If I have a mortgage, I don't on every property, and then the property taxes and the insurance. So it's just kind of done. And I don't even want to get invoices. I go into all of my invoices and try to set up where they email me the invoice instead of sending me a paper copy. And again, the whole point is to try to make your business run as passively as possible, because you want to be able to travel and do whatever you want to do. And you don't want to say, oh my gosh, that bill's going to be sitting, you know, there in my mailbox while we're gone for 6 weeks. And so I try to get everything sent to me with my emails instead of through the actual mail, so that if there is something that I've overlooked, I actually get it. And then I can always call Jen back home and go, Jen, run over to the office and get the, and she's done a couple of, like I had a refrigerator go out while I was gone. So she went over and got the debit card to that account for that house, gave it to Matt, my son-in-law, her husband. He went and got the refrigerator, delivered the refrigerator, gave the card back to Jen, and Jen put the card back in my office. So it's kind of nice to have someone back home when you are traveling that can do that. Now, just so you know, when we're in a mastermind group like this, we can help support each other. So I want you to feel like you have the freedom to travel or do whatever you want to do. I remember I did an open house for Chris, and you want to be able to help and support each other. That's the whole point of having a mastermind group like this. And I know, David, I know you and Tammy have come alongside Adrian a time or two and helped him out to get him going as well. So that's the whole point of having a group like this. So not only can we mastermind our problems together, but we also can be a support for each other, and we can become that advisory board for each other as we go forward with the real estate, because there's always going to be a new question or a new problem that we haven't had before. Right now, my biggest struggle is Mark and I bought that it was a single wide with an addition built on down in Hocking Hills, and power was out. It's an all electric furnace, and power was out for 4 days. So we were concerned that that might happen while we were in Florida. So Mark actually went down and cut the pipes loose. He cut the plumbing loose and drained everything out as best he could. And so when we were in Florida, and I got the little text that popped up from the electric company that said power is out on Huffines, we're going to restore it in about 6 days. Mark is like, whew. He said, boy, am I glad I cut those pipes loose. But our struggle is, what would we do if we had somebody stay in there? You know, how would we handle that? So we've realized rather quickly that we need to solve that all electric heat issue. And because there's no other auxiliary heat there. And if you have a tenant or a renter in there, you don't necessarily want something, you know, wood burning. You don't want live flame in a trailer, for example. So so anyhow, we're playing around with trying to put some sort of a propane heat source in there that does not require electricity to start. There's a couple of options there, so that if we had somebody staying, they would continue to have heat, and then they could continue to have water, of course. So anyway, so those are my struggles. Let's go to David. David and Tammy, what is your current situation?
Well, we are actually we're doing something new to us. So we are becoming private lenders. I know we have been working with Chris, but that house didn't work out. And in some other groups, we mentioned that, you know, they're just, you know, what do you have going on? We say, oh, we have this private loan that, you know, we were going to, you know, help give someone, but that didn't all work out. And as soon as you say you have money,
everybody's got their hand out like, yeah, hey, I got a deal.
Exactly. So we actually have two loans that we have written up a note and mortgage on. And now we're trying to figure out what to do next. So,
okay.
So one of them was supposed to close today at 2. The borrower told us at 5 p.m. on Friday that his loan was going to close today, and gave us the name of his title company. And we tried Saturday, and we have tried all day today. We even drove all the way to Dublin, where the title company is, to try to get our paperwork turned in and give them a check, because no one is returning our calls. But it's a federal holiday, so the banks are closed. The title company was closed. We don't know what's happening.
My guess is it didn't close today.
He's supposed to close electronically. He's out of state.
He lives locally, but he's in Washington, D.C. right now. So he's closing electronically, or probably just closed.
My guess is that you'll hear from everyone tomorrow morning in a tizzy to get the rest of the paperwork cleared up.
So we are actually giving more of the construction loan than the purchase. So for his, we will have to make separate arrangements, but I guess that is a question, since it is, we do have a mortgage, we'll be second position on the property, but we're not, you know, taking title, turning over title, anything like that. That was all done in what happened today. So we just meet this guy at White Castle and sign some paperwork and give him a check.
If it were me, first of all, what title company is it?
Valley Title Company.
Valley.
Never heard of it.
Okay. If it were me, I would probably get in touch with the title company tomorrow morning and get some direction from them as to exactly how that unfolds, because who is actually going to put you in second position? Is it the title company?
I think it's when we go and get our mortgage recorded with the county, it'll then be recorded in second position.
But who's recording it?
Well,
is the title company recording it?
That's another.
That's one of our other questions. We were trying to get a hold of them to find out if they would do it or if we need to do it.
It could be. Did he need the construction loan to buy the place, or is this just he just needed the money to fix it up once he bought it?
Second one.
Okay. You might be totally out of the whole mix with the title company, which is maybe why nobody got in touch with you or whatever. It could be that you're striking a deal directly with your guy, totally separate, and that you'll have to make sure that you get filed, that okay. That affidavit gets filed with the auditor site to make sure you're in second place. And I think if you do it yourself, there's just a filing fee.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a huge cost.
So we kind of figured that's how this one is going to run. And I know no two deals are ever exactly the same. But how does it normally go?
Well, and again, when you're a private lender, everything is different, because it's a contract is whatever you and the other person agree to do, makes it a legal binding contract.
Okay.
And everything under the sun is acceptable if the two of you agree to it and sign to it, and it doesn't violate any state or federal laws. It's a legal binding agreement. As soon as, you know, money is exchanged, it's a legal binding agreement. I would recommend, though, I'm just kind of thinking out loud. Can you put that, since it's an investment for you, can you put that in a Nago and set it up with that his address for that property and actually have him make payments right through a Nago?
That is one of our next questions. Was we talked about it this weekend, like, can we put it in an Nago? I'm sure that we can, but then, you know, when you have people apply through an Nago, it shows all of your properties that they could potentially apply to, and we weren't sure. We don't want anybody sending in an application to this private loan that's not even our house.
We were the only ones who would see it. But yes, we've toyed with would it work. It's obviously bending an Nago. It's a rent management or, you know, property management software, not loan software. But we have been toying with, can we bend it to this purpose?
I would love to do that if it were me, because that way your late fees and however you set it up on the front end, it's going to be automated. And it just keeps everything nice and clean, and you're not chasing that loan.
Right. Agreed. And that, you know, it's
yeah.
exactly what made it interesting to us. You know, we already know how to collect money through there. It's not something we didn't have to, you know, manually track elsewhere.
Now, I don't understand. And let me go back and revisit this. And Chris, I know you've got your application process in Nago. Tammy, you and David have your application process in Nago. I'm just now rolling my stuff over to do that. Before, I was just collecting the rent and doing the maintenance, and I'm just now putting leases and applications over there. I've always done mine on my website. What is it that they see that you think that somebody could see all your properties? Explain that.
So when you send somebody a link to your application, the first thing they have to do is put in their email address to see if their information is already in your Nago system. And then they have to pick the property that they are applying for. But Nago shows them all of the whole list of all the properties that you have in Nago, even if it's not something that's currently available for rent. So when I was advertising my Broad Street property, when somebody was applying, they would have to go pick from all of my properties. You know, it would show them, are you applying for Broad Street, Trine Street, Mulberry Street? And they had to pick. So
can you somewhere, and again, this is manipulating the program a little bit. Can you pick somewhere in, as you enter the property, can you pick somewhere to type the words not available? You know how you have to pick an address, and is there some place that you could add the words not available so that when they see this list come up, it'll say not available on that one?
Maybe. Not that I've learned so far, but we haven't done too many applications yet.
Yeah, I would think that probably, you know, a description, title, something would allow you to put some additional text in there, and then you just need to remember when you have something that is available, you go through and delete that out. You're just updating the description.
Yeah, see, since I'm not doing applications in Inago, all my properties just show. Well, and again, I don't know about you, but when folks are looking for a property, they've looked at 5 different platforms and they may not even remember the address that they're going to apply right. for. So I can see that being a problem.
Yeah, we thought it odd. We were confused by it when we were setting the first one up, because we would have thought that it would only show properties with vacancies, but it wasn't the case.
Chris, what are your thoughts on that? I know you used it as your application process. Did you have more than one property at the time?
Yeah, and the way they coded the website, it goes to one URL that brings in an API that basically generates a list. So you can change the name of each property, but you would have to go into individual properties and change the actual name and say not available. Wow. But that's a manual step that you're adding to something that's supposed to save you time.
Now, with that in mind, what if David and Tammy just went in and amended just that loan to say not available, so no one would ever confuse that as being one of their rentals?
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
Because then you're not changing your whole list. You're just changing that. When you enter that particular property, you're entering it as not available.
I mean, that could be the address of it is not available.
Right.
That's just where it is. That's 123 not available.
We'll just
and
have
if
to
you
call
do
it.
that will show up on all the reports you generate and everything.
Right.
As not available. So when you're trying to identify financial information later, you either have to change it back or you'll get a report that says generates not available property.
Well, or maybe have not available with that location so that they still know it's that location, because that way the money that you're making off of that investment is the same as the rent that you're making off of investing in a property. So it would still be a part of your investment reports.
Right.
I was thinking I just need to call Dave Spooner sometime this week and ask him if he thinks Inago can be used for this.
Well, I'm one that I always bend a platform to use it for what I'm doing. And so I would give that a try so that it was all in one place. I wouldn't want to keep 2 records, 2 different places. And it's all there. It's easy to get to. And when you travel, you just open up your Inago and it's all in there. And again, Inago takes care of the invoicing, the billing, the late fees, you know, if your guy, you know, is late making a payment, all of that with whatever penalties you have written up in your contract, you can just load that right in when you put that property in there. And you just need to have a way that if you do have something else available that your would-be tenants would know that that one was off the table.
So, yeah, so we'll definitely keep looking at that. And like Tammy said, we're going to call Spooner. The other thing we're looking at, Tammy found, I believe it was a free invoicing, some free invoicing software, at least a website that you could set up recurring invoices and then they pay through the site. So it would be outside of Inago, but it would kind of function in the same way. But here it's a simple invoice, which is really all we need. We don't need to track it as a property and have ways to put in maintenance requests and all the other nice things that Inago needs. We just need a way for them to get a bill and pay a bill.
Well, interesting.
Inago will add cost on to that for the whoever you're doing it with.
Say that again, Chris.
Your expense. Inago adds on cost for the person paying.
Well, yeah, $2. If they use an actual bank account. If they use a credit card, they're going to pay fees. But if they just use an actual bank account, it's $2.
Okay, it's not percentage of those.
No, it's just a flat $2 if they use a bank account.
Well, and actually, it is a percentage up to a maximum of $2.
Okay.
Oh.
We know from our tenant that makes multiple payments every month, some of which are very small. So, yes. Okay. So,
and we already have an AGO set up to eat the cost for bank accounts for ACH transactions.
Okay.
Okay.
So you've backed into that backwards and made it work for you.
Yes.
Yep. I get it. Okay. All right. So how many have actually put your leases, signed leases, up into an AGO where folks can sign online? Okay. I'm just now doing that. So Elise, have you done that yet?
Yes. All of my papers, all of my forms, anything goes through an AGO just so I don't have to touch it. I just found that when we did sign the first time, we were in the property and I didn't have, you know, any chairs or any furniture in there. So it was kind of uncomfortable. And it was just nice that they could do things through their phone. And I'm just like, we don't have to super meet, you know, every time, then let's not do that. So, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let Jen share the screen. And Jen, share with us what you have, what you've learned so far.
Well, I mean, everybody here looks like they've already entered leases into an AGO. So they're probably more versed in it than I am. So they may be able to tell me what I've done wrong or things like that. So I just kind of did some screenshots and basically took the video that they show up in the AGO and just broke it down step by step. So to be completely honest, for everybody who's already entered it, it might actually be quite redundant. So Mom, if you want me to send that over to you, so then you can upload it into your Teachable for anybody who needs to, who wants to come back to it or anything like that, I can do that.
Go ahead and share your screen because we've got some folks that as soon as this call is over, they had to work and they're interested in seeing how you did it. And this is a good way to mastermind it. So if Chris or Tammy or Elise have some suggestions, we can get it all on one recording.
Well, give me one second.
And I put in here, I gave permission to let you share your screen.
Except my computer is freezing.
Mine does that too when I'm on a Zoom call.
It's not wanting to let me click on anything here.
Let me make sure I have it correct on my end.
Yeah, it's showing me that I can pull stuff up, but it's not letting me actually click into anything.
Does it let you share it at all?
It lets me click the share screen button, and then it doesn't allow me to click anything. It says select a window or application you want to share, and then it doesn't let me actually click onto it.
Interesting. Because again, if you hit share screen, it doesn't even show you're sharing on our end yet.
Yeah, it's not like letting me click in anything. Let me go back out and try it again.
In the meantime, I want to ask David and Tammy and Chris and Elise, what are some tips and tricks that we might need to know as we're uploading the leases? What are some things that you discovered that wasn't readily maybe understandable as you were doing it?
Those PDFs lie to you. If your PDF is not correct, that thing is not going to go into an AGO right. You're not going to be able to put the boxes on there correct. If you don't have enough space for your boxes, it's going to drive you nuts if you're OCD like myself. So one thing that I would definitely suggest is I always just go through, clean up that paper, make sure there's no unnecessary spaces in like my leasing document. And then once I look at that PDF, I'll go back through and scan it and just make sure, you know, just to catch it with my eyes and see if there's enough space for the boxes and whatnot.
Okay, because then again, what happens is if the box isn't big enough, it starts to overlap.
Absolutely. And it's annoying.
Okay. All right. Chris, how about you? Any tips and tricks?
I was going to say that's my biggest pet peeve is the font and spacing of the document. You got to make sure it's big enough to allow for all those characters, and they don't exactly line up. So use the preview feature to make sure things line up on a document correctly.
Jen, did you find that was your biggest struggle trying to
That? And then also I saved a lease that I had entered and it was kind of slow on processing it. So I clicked out into the dashboard and it did not save that lease. So because it was kind of processing when I clicked save, I got impatient, was trying to do more things than, you know, I should have been doing. And when I went back into it, that lease was not there. So I don't know if it was just a delay because I do live out in the country. If it was a delay on my end, thank goodness when I was entering it, it was a very small commercial lease. So it was only 3 pages long and I only had to insert a couple boxes and didn't have a huge, you know, lease to go back to, but it was still a pain in the butt.
Tammy, how about you and David?
I agree with all the formatting stuff that Elise and Chris said. Just, I put my lease together. I thought on paper it was spaced nicely, but then of course you drop the fields in Inago and they're a different sized font. Usually it starts huge. And then I tried to make them smaller and then they're so small when you print them, you can't read them. And the fields just, they don't adjust to, so you have to keep, like, you know, your name one is always going to be so long, which it doesn't matter if the first person's name is 3 letters or 25 letters, it's, that field is always going to be this long. So when you put tenant number 2 in, you know, it doesn't auto adjust, it doesn't format nicely.
So all of you, I hear everybody saying that it was a struggle to get your stuff in there. Elise, go ahead and tell us what you're putting in the chat.
I did look, oh my goodness, I see I can't spell again. Sorry about that. I did ask Inago, so I wanted to know if it was possible for me to do my leases and all of my paperwork separately. So they did say, yes, you can do that. You can send your application and then upload any other forms that you need as a separate template and send all of them. So example, your lead disclosures, your, you know, your rules and regulations. I thought, I was under the impression that you had to have it all in that one lease document, but you can have them as separate. And that was something that I just didn't know and had to ask. So I was hoping I could help someone else out because I sat there and put all those little sign boxes on that one form and it still didn't look right. And I could have just done a couple separate ones. So
what you're saying in conclusion is that you can have more than one document under one client.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can do the lease. You can do your lead disclosures. You can do your rules and regulations and each thing gets sent to them separately to sign and you'll be alerted when they sign each one.
Okay. Because I also have walkthrough documents. I also have the pet screening document. So I have quite a bit in addition to just the lease agreement itself. Is everyone else using the pet screening?
No, not petscreen.com. I was going to say we do also upload our maintenance walkthroughs and things, but we don't have them electronically in Inago. I just scan them and attach them to the lease after we walk through and the tenant signed them just so I can store them there and find them again.
Chris, how about you?
I haven't used it.
So you're just doing your lease there or your application there?
On Inago?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing the lease and the pet addendum on there, but I'm only looking for certain things, but I'm not using any other external sites.
Okay. The pet screening, Elise, is a whole separate website, and it just it gives your pet screening a little bit of clout because it's a company that does that. And what it does for you as the landlord is it appears to your tenant that they're going through another company, which they are. And that other company does, for lack of a better way to explain it, they do a little bit of a background check to make sure that all of the paperwork is what your tenant said was they had. This company kind of makes sure that that's what they have. And so it prevents your tenant from trying to tell you that they have a service animal when they don't. And there are fines, federal and state level fines, for somebody that's passing off a pet as a service animal or a comfort animal. And so this form kind of, mentions that and goes into detail about that. And so it makes your tenants decide maybe they better not try to pull the wool over your eyes, so to speak, that they've got a service animal or a comfort animal when they really don't. And the site.
You're not going to allow my emotional support llama to move in with me?
As long as it passes the screening, Kyle. As long as you have all the right paperwork and it passes the screening, because they will double check your paperwork. I don't have it right in front of me. I want to say it's petscreening.com. Jennifer says yes. Do you have
it? Yeah, it's petscreening.com.
And you just go in and set up an account as the landlord.
Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm.
And then it gives you the link to give your tenants.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And then there's a, I'll call it a camera ready flyer in the site with your link on it, that if you're using a paper application or a paper lease, you can just print that off and include it in with your lease. And my guess is you could upload that flyer into Inago.
The question I have is for everybody who's used Inago leases, can you link? Because I know like on the app, when you send it, you have it on your application and you can actually link it, but can you link it on Inago? So if they're in the lease signing digitally, can they click a link and go out and do the pet screening and then come back to the lease?
I don't know. We haven't tried that.
Okay.
Definitely unsure. I haven't had anything like that, but I feel like it could be something you put into your application on Inago and just do like an extra section, like where you could do like the uploads for your IDs and things like that. And maybe that just be a link and you hit like the space bar, so it does pop up as that bright blue link and they could click on it later. But we might just have to test that and make sure it doesn't like cancel their application, right, or like make them start that over.
So if you can't, because that flyer from Pet Screening actually has a link in the middle of the flyer for your tenant to click on so that they can fill out the pet screening application. So my guess is if nothing else, you may need to have some instruction that they might need to copy and paste that link in a separate browser if they couldn't click on it. Any other comments? I love it.
I'm kind of frustrated I couldn't get my screen to share.
Yeah, we'll have to practice that. See why maybe that didn't work. So any other comments or questions on where we're at? I can't wait to hear how things work out for David and Tammy for doing some private lending. That's interesting. I have been exploring Fundrise, which is an online syndicate, real estate investing firm. And their returns are not bad. And they will let you roll over an IRA. And I am very seriously thinking about rolling my IRA over there. And instead of personally pulling the money out of my IRA and a self-directed IRA and investing in real estate with my IRA, I'm thinking about rolling it over into Fundrise Syndicate and letting them invest. Right now, I just started putting $100 a month into the Fundrise account. I know that's not very much, just because of play around with it. And the return is pretty good. If I had the same amount of money that I buy a piece of real estate with, if I had that amount over there, I would actually have a return better than what my rent return would be. And so with that in mind, I'm really thinking about rolling my IRA over into Fundrise Syndicate and seeing what kind of a return I get. Because I can take the return out, or I can have them add it to the investment and grow the funds even more. But because of the age that Mark and I are at this time, we're wanting more cash flow. So has anyone explored any syndicates like that? Or a self-directed IRA? Has anybody thought about doing that?
I've thought about Fundrise. We haven't done it. We actually just have a bunch of other investments with an investment advisor that are not real estate related, but we have been talking about rolling over one of our IRAs into a self-directed so that we can use for this private money investing. Because we don't have that yet. The money that we're using is a cash out refinance that we were going to use to buy a property on Wheeling Street in Lancaster, and then that deal fell through, and we've made several offers. I think we've made three or four offers through Kyle so far this year, and a few off market offers, and all of them keep falling through. So we decided that money's just sitting there. We already are paying the loan, you know, that we got the cash from. So we might as well get it to work for us via some private money lending.
I get it. When we were in Florida this last trip, we made an offer on another condo in our same complex. And Kyle and I, we were on the phone back and forth as we were in the middle of that offer. And somebody offered more. We don't know how much more, but somebody offered more and they went into contract with them. We were like, darn. So I'm still looking. So I've got my radar on, and I'm still looking for something in that area. And again, it wasn't perfect. It was in the same complex that we're in, and in Florida, and inside of an HOA, there were some rules about short-term renting and how long you had to own it first and all that. And so it's all about good, better, and best. And so it was good, but I think there's probably better complexes to invest in. And so we weren't horribly unhappy. The only reason that we wanted that one was because it was right down the street from where we are down there. And we thought we could manage it pretty well because it was close to where we are. But anyway, we'll see how that plays out. Anyone else have a self-directed IRA or a syndicate where you're investing at all? And what are your thoughts? Have you, anyone researched it? Kyle, Elise, Chris?
Well, I'm technically doing a self-directed IRA, but what all I did was I just copied the mutual funds that I was in under my employer because I was happy with those returns. So I haven't done any of my manual picking and choosing, but technically I am in the driver's seat.
Okay, so it's self-directed. You just haven't self-directed it yet.
Right.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. You figure if the big boys are investing in a certain way, why reinvent the wheel if the returns are pretty decent? But if you do see a piece of property that you would really like to have, you do have the option to use that. Is that what I hear you saying?
Right.
Okay, good. So, and with you being in the business, you'll know when the numbers are good. When you see it, you'll go, that's the one. You'll know. Elise, how about you? Have you explored any self-directed or any syndicates?
Not at this time. I haven't even started looking into that. Honestly, my entire thing is just trying to get more of my virtual assisting off the ground so that I can fund more real estate deals. I haven't gotten into any other investments just because I haven't been aware of any other investments. But now that I'm kind of living more of that freestyle life, we'll be getting into that shortly.
Good for you. So I don't know if all of you have followed what Elise is doing, is that she's recently gotten engaged. Am I right?
Close to.
Okay. And so at this point, she house hacked it first. She bought the duplex and she lived in one side and rented the other side. And now she is ready to rent the side that she had been living in And that's what she's putting out there with that QR code, because she is moving in with the boyfriend. And so she now is able to use both sides of that property as an investment. And at that point, whatever she is cash flowing is definitely money in her pocket for whatever she wants to spend it on or to invest in something else in addition to that. So Elise, and I just get so proud of her. Elise, tell everybody again how old you are.
Oh, why, thank you. I am 26 and super excited to keep working. And, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about Kathy and everyone in this group, honestly, because everyone has had a hand in helping me with everything, especially David, helping me learn how to, you know, work with putting, what is that stuff? Mud on walls, even though I got it everywhere. Just working to find something within my passion and being able to cash flow. I did want to say I ran the numbers again, and if I'm successful in getting the $1,425 for this side or the side that I lived in, I should be cash flowing $500 for the entire home. And that's after putting away all of the money. So I am super excited and hoping to get at least that asking price. Even if I just did 13, I'm probably back down to $200 or $300 after paying everything off. So it was a great deal, even though I didn't know what I was doing at first.
And that's what it's all about. And then just build from there. You know, again, your freedom number, it's just a math problem. You just have to decide what cash flow you need to come into the household every day. And somebody said, yeah, but I'm not making the same return that somebody else is. Well, then you need more units if you're not making the same return. If you have to mortgage every one of them, then you just need more to get the same, to get to your freedom number. You know, if you don't have cash to buy them where, you know, they're free and clear and you have to mortgage to get there, you just need to have more. And so don't also underlook the idea that there are lenders out there that will portfolio a couple of your properties together. So let's say you have one that really did well with equity, and then you have another property that maybe didn't appreciate as well. You could still portfolio those two properties together in one loan. And oftentimes the lender then will actually loan you more money because they're using the equity out of the one that has more equity. And actually you can leverage that to get loans actually portfolioed together. So my point in all of that is it gives you less loans, which because a lot of the lenders only want to give you four. And you're thinking, well, once I get four, I wonder if I want six. Well, if you can portfolio a couple properties into one loan, now that's counted as one loan. You, though, could actually have two different tenants, if it's two different properties, making a payment on that. And I'll give you an example. I had two salons, one on the overall amount that I borrowed, one was 60% of the total, the other one was 40% of the total, when I borrowed it. So what I did as I was having the tenant pay rent, one paid out of one account, I paid 60% of the mortgage payment. And out of the other account, I paid 40% of the mortgage payment. And I literally sent two separate checks into the mortgage company for that one loan for the duration of that loan, because I wanted the paperwork to show, you know, which property was paying what percentage. And I split the property taxes that way. I split the mortgage payment that way. I had a blanket insurance policy on both buildings. I split the insurance premium that way. And that way on my Schedule E, each property, even though it was portfolioed together, each property could stand alone with its numbers. Does that make sense? And so don't be afraid to do that, because you can actually buy more properties that way. All right, questions, comments. Jen, thank you for being with us today. We're at just past the 3 o'clock hour. So if there's anything else we can help anyone with, and if you're still looking or if you're in the market for looking, get a hold of Kyle. He's got some deals in his back pocket. So get a hold of Kyle if you're looking still. And then Kyle, I'll toss out to you. We do need to start thinking about boots on the ground for March. So I'm excited. What is everybody wanting to see? If you could pick whatever you could pick, what are you wanting to see? Elise wants to connect with Jen about being a VA.
I'd like to see Maui.
I second that opinion.
Property in Maui. Kyle says, buy the ticket. He will be here.
I have a friend. Can we get a sponsor? I have a friend. He's running a string of Airbnbs in Hawaii, and he's very successful at it.
Oh, wow.
Well, tell him we'd like to take a tour for our boots on the ground.
Yeah, he's about Elise's age, and he's already retired. I kind of hate him.
You know what? Let him know we need to connect. I'm trying to retire. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I get it. So what is everybody interested in? I'm interested in a condo complex. Kyle, I'll toss this out. I'm interested in a condo complex that is short-term rent friendly. And that's a tough one in an HOA. I have one that I bought. I'll call it Reynoldsburg. It's not really Reynoldsburg. It's actually in Columbus, because there's Whitehall, then there's a little section of Columbus, and then it goes right into Reynoldsburg. I found this unit, a one bedroom, right in the Columbus spot, because Columbus allows for the short-term rental. They have provisions for that. Whitehall does not, Reynoldsburg does not, Columbus does. And I'm serious. It's like one street over is Whitehall in one way and one street over is Reynoldsburg the other way. I'm right there in the sweet spot where short-term rental is okay. So that's what I'm interested in, Kyle. So I'll toss that out there. If there's a condo somewhere that is short-term renter friendly, because Columbus is a hot spot and it's going to get more of a hot spot for those of you that are still investing aggressively.
I think that would be interesting. That's something, you know, we kind of breeze over condos because we really don't.
The HOA fees usually make it less desirable.
Yeah, we don't have any experience with condos. So I think of boots on the ground in a condo complex and how you actually analyze that deal would be interesting.
Anyone else? Chris, if you had cash in your back pocket and you were ready to look at something tomorrow, what would you look at? What would be your hot button?
Scalable multifamily.
Multifamily
renovations.
Okay. Are we talking when we talk multi? Are we still talking to keep it in a personal note like a fourplex, or are we talking more than four?
Both. So scale from four or below, and then when the right opportunity comes around, go higher.
Okay, but you would start with maybe a fourplex. It's easier to get a loan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at a duplex right now. Yep.
Sorry?
I'm at a duplex right now, so I'm open to something smaller, but okay. Hot commercial space.
Okay. Elise, how about you?
I mean, with having a duplex now, my famous thing, and I love it from, I don't remember what movie, I want to turn two into four and four into more. So any kind of multifamily, anything that fixer-upper, because my lovely boyfriend has the hands of a beautiful repairman. I love that. Love that for me. So anything multifamily will be great.
Yeah, good for you, Elise. Good for you. Yeah, so on the resume, must come with hammer and nails and a...
Bring your own tools.
I tell Mark all the time he's much sexier with the tool belt on. I tell him that all the time.
Absolutely.
All right, Kyle, it sounds like everything from a rentable short-term rentable condo to commercial. I'm gonna say a fourplex would be a great place for the folks on this call to go next, because you can get the loan easier. If you get into the 6 and 8 and 10 units, the cost starts to get up there. It's harder to find the money. It's harder to get the loans. Everything becomes more commercial. Interest rates higher. It's harder to qualify with your income. It just starts, the bigger you get, the harder it is to qualify. Now, once you get several units under you and you're cash flowing and you're 2 years in and you can now start to count that as income, see, then it's going to be a lot easier to get those bigger units. But getting a fourplex is about the same as getting a duplex as far as how complicated it is. It's probably the least complicated biggest property you could do is a fourplex. So what do you think, Kyle? find a fourplex and a condo to look at for boots?
Yeah, we'll take a look and see what's available as time draws nearer, because you know things fly off the shelf so quick. Yes. I don't know if you noticed, technically, I think our boots falls on the same night we have that toast to Stephanie. So I don't know if you wanted to try to do it the same night or move it to a different night, but we'll cross that bridge.
No, as a matter of fact, the boots, I even put it in the announcement that the boots on the ground will just be sometime that first week or so, because we do have to move around on whatever's available, and we have to move around on whenever we can get into something. We can't always get into something right at the exact time we want to. So, plus I had boots scheduled originally at 2 o'clock, and I'm trying to make it later. Now that, of course, days are getting longer, I'm trying to get it later so that folks that are still working can meet us after work. So any day later that week would be great. All right, guys. Thank you, David and Tammy and Chris and Elise and Kyle and Jen. Thank you so much for being on today. And we will see you next time. So thanks for tapping in.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.